It's always a treat to have Michelle and Henry with us. And remember the time they used to come over from New York, and they come over the whole family. So, but nonetheless, we're glad to have you with us here today. And I'm sure Chuck is, because otherwise he'd have to cook his own meals. So I'd ask him earlier, I said, who's cooking the meals? He said, I don't know. I said, well, it just appears. The food just appears on the table. I don't know. We're on the way. Anyway, we're moving on to our second topic within the Successful Christian Life series, and just singing that song, Be Strong in the Lord. You know, it's kind of hard to be strong in the Lord if we don't know what it entails. Okay? Sounds nice, sounds wonderful, but there's a lot involved in being strong in the Lord. And first of all, knowing what you believe. You know, it's amazing how many people really don't know what they believe. Or what some of the Bible doctrines are. So, in today, we're dealing with the overall topic is the Bible. Successful Christian life, self-assessment, that's what we've been doing here. This has been a personal spiritual analysis, part two. And we're in a spiritual warfare, and if you're not going to equip yourself, you're not going to be able to wage a very good warfare. Amen? Could you imagine bringing in a bunch of maybe thousands and thousands of troops and say, okay, there's the enemy over there, and well, we're not going to give you any weapons. We're not going to feed you, not going to clothe you, we're not going to give you any weapons, not going to give you any ammo. Do the best you can. Well, God has equipped us for the spiritual warfare, and we have to know what it is. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Let be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour." Folks, he wants you. He wants your life, he wants your marriage, he wants your children along the way there. And so where we have been is simply a personal spiritual analysis. And so we will be going down the alphabet, using it as an acrostic of sorts to lay out a series which we can use to do self-analysis. You know, it's always easy to pick out someone else's faults. Amen? It's always easy to pick out someone else's weaknesses along the way. But when we look in the mirror, what do we see? Oh, Mr. and Mrs. Perfect. Yeah, look at that. We're good to go. Well, that may not be what God sees. Amen. The reflection in the mirror may not be exactly what God sees in the human heart. And so we need to understand that we can do a spiritual analysis along the way. I think we're going to go through through this particular lesson today. If we don't finish it this morning, we'll finish it in the 1 o'clock service. But I think it's important to come up and give you an idea of how you can go through the Bible and make certain markings that would really be important to you along the way. So it becomes quite easy to reach a place in our Christian life where we begin to simply coast and become complacent in our walk with the Lord. And that's where I believe a lot of Christianity is today. They have become complacent. They have gotten so used to allowing the world to come into the church, into their home. Now, first of all, the allowing of the church to come into the home has been the worst. But when it comes into the home, then it's just natural that it comes seeping into the church. And so a lot of our churches do not represent what churches were. Now, some of us who are half a century or more older would admit that a lot of churches today really aren't the kind of churches that we knew when we were growing up, by any stretch of the imagination. So Christian life is a life that, as designed by God, is meant to be an ever-increasing life of spiritual growth. Amen? You certainly don't want to have children and have them remain a toddler. Now, I've heard you say that before. Oh, I wish they didn't have to grow. But there comes a point in time when you say, boy, am I glad they've grown. I'm glad they're out of the house. I'm glad they have their own family now along the way. But considering the ministry of the Holy Spirit and conforming us to the image of God, of Christ, rather, and that we are sinners by faith when we came to a saving faith in the person of Christ, we have a long way to go, amen? I mean, from sinner to being conformed to the image of God. Now, it's a process, understand. It's a day-by-day, Bible study by Bible study, if you will, to get to that particular point where the Holy Spirit is actually accomplishing the ministry of conforming us to His Son. But that is the ultimate goal of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, you're either cooperating or you're not cooperating. You either got your heels dug in and say, I'm not changing, I'm going to stay where I am, or you're going to go with the Holy Spirit and say, lead me, and so on. And so, we need to equip ourselves for this journey because we will not always have others to challenge us. And so we need to be able to go through our Bibles and pick certain things out. So this series within the Successful Christian Life series is like a man who is hungry and seeks to be fed. So he knocks on your door and he said, well, I'm hungry, I could have a meal. And someone there said, well, you have two choices at that particular point. We can give him a meal and knowing that he'll come back tomorrow because tomorrow he's going to be hungry too. Amen? And the next day he's going to be hungry. So you have the second choice is that you can give him a fishing pole and teach him how to fish so he can feed himself and take care of himself. There's two choices. Well, I'm hoping we're choosing the second choice here is that by the time the message is done today, we'll have some idea of how we can go through the Bible and really glean from it important things that, will strengthen us and encourage us in the things of the Lord. And so even if that's not the case, we can, this A to Z series is going to perfectly give each of us the ability to properly analyze where we are in our spiritual lives and make the necessary corrections in our lives. Because I don't know any of us, from the pulpit to the pew, from here to home, homegoers as well, that there aren't places that we can make corrections. Amen? There are things that we can do better. There are things that we can let go in order to be able to allow God to place more things into our lives. So we are to make the necessary changes and necessary corrections in our lives, and perhaps help others through counseling who are struggling with their daily walk and spiritual growth. Now, it's really great to be able to experience the principles of the Word of God, to put them into your life, see how they work. And then when someone else is struggling, maybe it's a brand new Christian, maybe it's another Christian who is backsliding, you're able to come alongside of them and say, "You know, listen, can I pray for you? Can we get together and have some time together?" And you can begin to share with them the things that you have learned as you went through the Word of God. So let's lift the Lord in a prayer and we'll get started here. Father, we thank you for this time that we could be together. Well, once again in the house of the Lord, we pray that everything will go according to your desire, according to your will, and that, Lord, we will be challenged, and that, Lord, we might find something new or a method of reading our Bibles that we never really thought of before. Lord, reading is still reading, but Lord, how we read and how we mark things for remembrance or even to be remembered as we go through it again and again. Lord, you guide, you direct, whether it's to salvation or to rededication. Lord, we pray now you'll meet the needs both here and at home. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So the very first point we're looking at is, am I reading my Bible consistently and getting anything from it? How are you doing that? Well, I'm not so sure that believers as a whole give much thought to how important the Bible is to our everyday life. Now, we know it's important to eat, and we really know it's important to eat right, but we don't always eat right, do we? And we might skimp on some meals there and pay a price later on down the road through that day, but as a whole, I don't think we give much thought to how important the Bible is for everyday life. Important? Well, yeah, it's important, preacher. But important enough to spend time studying the Bible? Well, not so much. I don't mind reading it. I do read it. But I don't know if I really want to sit down and study it because I don't think I'm really a great student of the Word of God. Well, hopefully by the time this day is over, we'll give you some tools that will help you with that, be able to glean some things from there. And it's also be on the note card that I put in the bulletins. So, how do we know when this is a problem in our lives? You know, by prioritizing. What priority does the Bible have in your life? What priority does it have in your figuring out your daily schedule? Is it a tack on somewhere if you got a few moments or like we're down here? So how do we know when this is a problem? Well, where is it in our priorities? When establishing priorities in our lives, where does the Bible fit in? We could say it was like the finances, if you would. When it comes to finances, how do you consider the tithe or the offering that you would give on a Sunday? I'll see how much I got left over after I pay my bills and how much I got left over after I have my dinner out this week or whatever the case. Or is it something you just figure it out the top? So when you get your, then of course always comes the question, well, we tithe off, we give offerings off the net of the growth. Listen, you do what God tells you to do, all right, in that area there. But giving to the Lord, that should be right on the very top of your financial planning for that particular week or month, whatever it might be. So, when establishing priorities in our lives, where does the Bible fit in? When I get to it? Is that kind of one of those things when I get to it? But right now, I'm really pretty busy, preacher. Or maybe another thought is there that if I can scratch out a few minutes. Well, if that's your thinking, that means that you don't put a very high priority on the Bible or Bible reading or Bible study time. So when I get to it, or if I can scratch out a few minutes. So the answer is when it's a low priority on our list of things to do, we have a problem knowing how important the Bible to us is on a daily basis. You have to schedule a time. So not only is it daily so, but it needs to fit into our plans, be it our lives, our plans, for the ages, as we learn from the Word of God. So without the Bible, you simply cannot understand some things here. And I'm going to list some of these things here. First of all, we know that Do you realize that without the Bible, number one, no one can get saved? You can't get saved without the Bible. If you came to a saving knowledge in the person of Jesus Christ, it's because someone gave you a tract with the gospel in it, with verses, or they gave you a verse, or you heard a sermon that came from the Bible with the verses. But the truth of the matter is, no one gets saved without the Bible. The Bible is a life-transforming message from God through the person of Jesus Christ. So without the Bible, you simply cannot understand any of these things. And so, integral to all this is knowing how to study, what we should be looking for, and how to extrapolate from the Word of God the things that we need to have in our lives. I got ahead of myself here again. I do this all the time. I forget. Anyway, so the Bible says in Psalm chapter 63 and verse 1, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Have you felt like you get beat up sometimes? By the end of the day, you feel like you've been beat up. I know that Burton's had a rough time up there on the farm there with the coolers and things up there, and it seems like you work hard all day, and it just seems like, okay, Lord, no, not this. This is not a good time for these things to happen there. But, you know, maybe it's the work week. You kind of feel like you've been beat up on the day before. So what do you plan to do? You get up a little bit early. You say, Lord, I'm going to have to spend a few more minutes with you on the morning time here. And so, oh God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. And so the priority should be what? Early. As early as you can possibly. Amos chapter 8 and verse 11 says, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Folks, there is a famine in America. And it's not just because we don't have certain things on the store shelves here, but there's a famine concerning the Word of God. A lot of people aren't preaching the Word of God. A lot of people aren't reading the Word of God. And if they are, they're reading the wrong one, for that matter. And so we see here that in all of this is that we cannot grow into spiritual maturity without the Bible. You cannot grow spiritually. So you cannot get saved and you cannot grow into spiritual maturity without the Bible. It's a simple fact. You may be okay with where you are. The question isn't whether you're okay where you are. It's a matter of whether God agrees with you, that he's satisfied with where you are. And I can't imagine God looking at any one of us simply saying, I'm good with where you are. If we're going to be conformed to His Son, there's a lot of room, not wiggle room, but a whole lot of room for us to make improvements. Amen? In every aspect of our lives. And so, do you realize without the Bible you cannot get saved? Why? Because it is the gospel, the good news. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 17. Let's turn there very quickly. Romans chapter 10. Most of us are already familiar with verse 13, but I want you to read the rest of that. Romans chapter 10, looking at verse 13. Get there. And it says, Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed thy report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and what? Hearing by the word of God. So it's a matter of growth, spiritual growth along the way. So just know this, according to John chapter 3 and verse 3, when we say you cannot get saved without the Bible, Jesus speaking to Nicodemus said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be what? Born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, how else are we going to know that we are sinners in need of salvation without the Bible? Before you were saved, how many people came up to you and said, Oh, hey, you know what Romans 3:23 says? For all of sin to come short of the glory of God. Oh, not me. I'm a pretty good person. I'm a pretty decent person. No, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says, for all of sin. All of sin to come short of the glory. I was born that way. I was born a sinner. I was headed to a Christless eternity until the gospel was shared and I accepted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. See, the Bible is indispensable to our salvation. But secondly, and we cannot grow spiritually, and we're going to get into a little thought here this morning, that we cannot grow spiritually without the Bible, supposing one wants to grow. And that's a sad tragedy. I don't believe a lot of Christians, they're glad to be saved, but they don't really want to grow. You know, it's like, I don't really want to go to school because if I go to school, I got to study. And if I go to study, that means I'm going to, you know, and I tell you, that was a big deterrent for me. Once I graduated from Bible college, and of course it was a 4-year course in 2 years, 9 months, and I did not want to go back to school again. I knew I should. I knew I needed it, and I didn't want to go back to school, so it took me about 30 years to decide, okay, you know what, I better do it before it's too late. And so I went back to school and the studies, and my wife became a widow again, temporarily anyway, because I spent a lot of time studying and doing the homework that was there, and all the sermon preparation and everything that went with that. But you should have a desire in your heart to grow, to become more like Christ. And so 1 Peter, what's this 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 says, as newborn babes, desire sincere milk. I don't have a desire, preacher. Ask God to give you the desire. And then put your seatbelt on, because He'll bring a desire in your heart to be in the Word of God. And so I know that not only God wants us to grow, the Holy Spirit wants us to grow. In John 16 and verse 13, He says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He wants us to grow, because that's His ministry. He wants us to cooperate with Him to bring us to that point where day by day, every time we spend some time in the Word of God and we make application of the Word of God to our lives, and we move forward with that day, that we're becoming more like Christ. More like Christ on a daily basis. Now, they got their sanctification. That is, God, sanctification is God's plan by which we can spiritually grow and follow His plans. Not your plans, His plan. You know, God has a plan for your life. Young people, God has a plan for your life. Now, you can go out there, you can make all the choices and all the decisions you want, but if you don't pray about it, you may be making some of the biggest mistakes of your life. Amen? Been down that road. I've done that. So when you begin to make these decisions, or you're about to face a decision, you know what you need? And moms and dads, you need to help them in this particular process of praying that God would give them wisdom and discernment about what the next step He wants them to take in their life, because it cannot, by any stretch of the imagination, exclude Him having a major priority in your life. So sanctification is God's plan by which we can spiritually grow and follow His plan. Then we come to the word, another great word there, progressive sanctification, which is simply is a process of growth. Amen. You may have gotten saved, and that's where you're staying. You're not, I'm not moving. I'm saved. I got my ticket to heaven. I know I'm going there. I'm not doing anything more than that. Well, might as well shoot yourself in the foot, because that's about as dumb a statement as you can make. So, a progressive sanctification is the process of spiritual growth. John chapter 17 and verse 17, Jesus prayed for you and me. He said, praying to the Father, He said, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. So you can't even spiritually grow without the Word of God. So, the Holy Spirit, so the Apostle Paul commands believers to study the Word of God. Because as we study the Bible and make application to our lives, we are experiencing progressive sanctification, or spiritual growth and spiritual maturity. That's what that's all about. Reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, making an application of that to your life. Now, you know, it's easy for me to go through the Bible and make application to everybody around me. When God wants me to get in the Bible, He wants me to make see things and focus on things that can make me a better believer and more submissive and more yielded to the Holy Spirit of God in that particular process. So 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, study. And you know what that word is, as Steve would say. It's in the imperative, which is the same thing as a command. So he says, study. Now this is a command to all believers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Listen, if you're not careful, you don't really study the Bible and meditate in the Bible, and do so there, then you're going to find yourself making application to things that don't really belong to you anyway. It may belong to the nation of Israel. It may belong to the tribulation time period. It may belong to the millennium. So it's important for us to understand that this is God's plan from the beginning, from in the beginning, God, all the way to the last amen in the book of Revelation. This is God's plan for all the ages. Amen? And so you have to put it right, in the right place, in the right perspective. So remember, the verb is a command to always be active in one's study and studying the Word of God. And we want so much from God, but are unwilling to put the work put in the work as a redeemed of the Lord, to learn of Him and His purposes and His plans. What do you know about God's plan? What do you know about God's purposes? I mean, if you were to take out a blank piece of paper and say, well, this is what God's plan is, and I know that because this is what the Bible says. How about God's purposes? Do you know what God's purposes are? What's God's purpose for you? Amen. So they're there. Amen. They're all there. That's what you got to do. And so without the Bible, you simply cannot understand these things that God wants us to so much understand. And they're not hidden to us, but you're going to have to spend some time in the book. All right? So integral to all this is knowing how to study. So important. Let me go one more. So the Holy Spirit gives us four areas of great concern that we need to understand about who we are as believers. If we're going to extrapolate or take something from the Bible, this information for application to our lives is absolutely important. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 gives us these four things. So the Holy Spirit gives us four areas in which we should be concerned about in our daily walk in our Bible study. Doctrine. People just kind of go, ugh, that's got to be so boring. Well, doctrine is basically this, knowing what God says is right to do. Amen. You read through the whole book of Deuteronomy, and God is telling His people through Moses, this is what I'm expecting of you. This is what I want you to do. And you get over into chapters 28 and 29 and 30, just before they're getting ready to cross over into the promised land. And Moses is spending his last few days, if you will, with the nation of Israel. And he gives a whole litany of things in there. If you will do this, because this is the thing that he didn't say it is right, but if you do this, and if God tells us to do something, you know it's the right thing to do. And so there he goes. He says this, and he gives them the first 15 or so verses are all about there in verse 28, chapter 28, about these are things that I want you to do when you get into the land. And then he lists twice as much in the other. This is what I don't want you to do. So that brings us under the next word, which is, how about that reproof? Knowing what God says is not right. And as you go through the Bible, you begin to pick up on that which is right to do and that which is not right to do. And so there's a whole lot of right things to do as opposed to leaving a vacuum when we choose to do that which is right. When we choose not to do the things that are wrong, then we can have more room for doing that which is right. Amen. We're less encumbered by those thoughts. So what do we need next? Well, some of us need correction. When you bring your thoughts to the Bible, your thoughts are not always God's thoughts. But he even says so. He says, your thoughts are not my thoughts and your ways are not my ways, saith the Lord. So correction is knowing how God wants us to get it right. It's that simple. Studying is one of those ways. Amen. Praying is one of those ways. Going to church is one of those ways. And of course that means the next one is instruction. Knowing how God says we ought to keep it right. How we are to keep it right. So, knowing how to take away the information that we need from our daily time in God's Word is also important. And here is a system I believe that you can use in establishing a commitment to making Bible study a priority in your lives. So, that would get us to this next one here, which is getting each session ready for study. Get a mindset. Get what you need. My wife has her basket alongside the sofa there, and she pulls it out in the good weather, takes it out there on the deck, and she's out there with her Bible and her notebook and her devotionals and a whole plethora of things that she takes out there when she goes out there and so on. So lock in the best time. That's in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Amen. So that's important. Lock in the best time for you. Now, maybe you work midnight and so on, and you might have to have a different time. But it's important to lock in the best time for you. During the summertime when the kids are home, it can be like a nightmare trying to get that time in there. During the school year, not so bad. You ship them out the door and you can have your devotional time. Well, my dad worked shift work, so my mom knew she had to be up at 4 or 4:30 in the morning. Then they had to get kids' lunches ready. My dad would be coming home. So she'd already be done with the devotions and ready to face the day. So I think the second one there that we need to have is to get a good-sized notebook. Amen? Proverbs chapter 7, verse 3 says, bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Write them in a book so you can keep your eye on them on a regular basis. So you can divide the page into four columns across the top, using the four topics of doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, one at the top of each column. As you're going down there, mark that verse. And this would fall under doctrine. This would fall under reproof. This would fall under correction. This would fall under instructions areas, if you would. And so the idea is here that it's important for us to have this and get this out. So another way of doing this is a reminder. As a reminder, is to mark your Bible's open column, the same idea that is in the margins, but along a verse which corresponds to either of the four topics. Now, I can't remember where I said that. Yeah, I said it number five. I think it was Moody. Moody was known for marking in his Bible. And they always put a T/P or a TP. Someone asked him one time, what does that mean? He said it means tested and proven. Tested and proven. Tested and proven. Well, can you imagine going down your Bible, going down the margin and say, okay, this verse, that. And you'd have an awful lot of those in the book of Deuteronomy and through the Old Testament. It's either going to be a D or an R or a C or an L. And next time you go through there, say, okay, this is about a doctrine. This is about... So it refreshes your mind as you go through there exactly what that verse was about as you're going to go through that whole particular thing. And so you can do that. You'll find that each time you read through your Bible, you'll add to your knowledge and markings. And each time you'll find yourself being challenged to strive for the mastery of the faith. 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. So are you striving for the mastery of the faith? Or are you just kind of content to be a buoy on the sea, just kind of rolling with the crest, rolling with the waves and going with them along the way? Or are you striving? He says again, Paul says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. God expects us to be striving for the mastery of the faith. The last verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3 states the why of all this. Okay. I said it, but you have it before you anyway. So, columnize the page. I said Moody system. That's a good system to use. Each time you read through the Bible, you'll find even more once you get used to this idea. Remember, striving for the mastery of the faith is the goal. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 17 says that the man of God may be what? Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Not for salvation. This verse sums up the absolute necessity for locking away a time for our Bible study. We can't be thoroughly furnished unto all good works if we don't. Not works for salvation. For no one is ever saved by works. Once saved, God has given us a list of things that we should be doing if we want a good accounting when we get to the Bema Seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10 is important. Is Bible study a priority in your life? Because if it isn't, then it needs to be. Otherwise, you're just going to be a mediocre Christian at best. You may not even rise to that. And we're going to stand before the Lord and going to give an account. And we can't turn around and say, well, I didn't have a book. You got a book. You got a plan. You got instructions. You got reproof. You have everything you need in order to strive for the mastery of the faith. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for this time that we could be together today. And Lord, that you'll guide and direct, and that every one of us from this pulpit to the pews, to the home as well, that are gathered here this morning, who may even listen to the CD somewhere down the road, that, Lord, Bible study is an absolute indispensable part of our lives. We've got to spend some time studying the Bible. And Lord, we can't use excuses. Well, I'm not an avid reader. Well, then, Lord, read what I help them to realize that they can read what they need to read and take notes, even if it's only just a chapter a day. Read a chapter a day and get something out of it that they can apply to their lives. Lord, we don't have to be geniuses. This book is written at a sixth grade level. Lord, all the excuses we use for, I don't have the time, I'm so busy right now, and maybe later on I'll get it then. Lord, we know in our heart of hearts that later on is not going to come today. That sometimes it goes into two and three and even a week before we even touched our Bibles. Lord, you so much want to talk to us, so much want to speak to us through your word. Holy Spirit wants to instruct us and to teach us from your word. And yet, Lord, we're just not cooperating. We're just not there. Lord, may we no longer use those excuses and realize this is the place where we need to be. This is the thing that we need to do. We need to prioritize this time with you in the Word of God. So, Father, heads bowed and eyes closed, you say this morning, preacher, I know I need to spend more time in the Word of God. Preacher, would you pray for me this morning that I will get really serious about this time of prioritizing my time in the Word of God and not making excuses. Preacher, would you pray for me today? Young people, I'm going to tell you right now, the most critical part of your spiritual growth is right now while you're still young. So that you don't end up in a pattern that will carry over, that's hard to break. But while you're young now is the time to say, Lord, I want to be in your Word. And Lord, I want to glean and I want to grow from your Word. Young people, your life's direction is so important that God wants the Bible to be an integral part and the center of your spiritual growth. Because everything that you decide, everything that you choose down the road is going to have a spiritual connotation to it, either good or bad, one way or the other. And you better choose the way that's right. Father, you know who's saved and who's not saved. And Father, whether it's here at home, we pray that you'll guide and direct there too. Lord, salvation is so important. And yet, Lord, without the Word, and without us giving out the Word, whether it's by tract or sharing it when we can, when the doors are open, Lord, how are they going to know? Lord, the preacher, as you mentioned it in Romans, is not just the pastor in the pulpit. The Word is herald. And Lord, we have all been called to be heralds into the world and to share the gospel when and where we can. And Lord, to stand where you stand on all the issues that we're facing in our day and age. And to not apologize and not to be sheepish, but to be bold. To be bold as lions. And Lord, we can't do that if we're not in the Word. If we're not being guided and directed by the things in your Word and the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives, then Lord, we're going to be timid and weak and anemic. And Lord, that's not what you want. And Lord, in the end, that's not what we're going to want either. So Lord, you guide and direct. In Jesus' name we pray. Corinthians chapter 11, let's get ready for communion here. And Tom, could you come and...